Is man helpless? Am I a victim of my circumstances? Am I so influenced by my nature, by my vasanas, by my tendencies, by my swabhava, by my nature, that I cannot do anything? And people say, you know, I'm so helpless. I'm an angry person. I just get angry. I have no control. Or I know I should not be greedy or selfish, or, but that's how I always am. What can I do? And this is what the message of the Bhagavad Gita tells us, that we are born with certain tendencies, certain vasanas, certain nature, but it is possible to improve. It is possible to change your life. We are not puppets in the hand of God. God is not like the puppet master who stands above and, you know, puppet master regulates the puppets and the puppet moves where he tells them and speaks where he wants. Is God like that, you know, where we are just, you know, I'm kathputli hai uske haath mein, you know, people say I'm a puppet. Or do I have my own self-will? Do I have my own, you know, there is a difference between prarabdha and purushartha. So do I exert my purushartha, my self-will, or am I just driven like a log of wood? So that is the topic we'll be talking about today. How one can change one's nature and direct it upward. Because last week Krishna had told us that machitta sarva durgani mat prasada tarishyasi atha chetva ahamkarat nashroshyasi vinangshyasi. If you follow what I am telling you, turn your mind towards me, remember me at all times, then with my grace, with my blessings, you will be able to overcome all obstacles. But if you don't, then you will suffer. And then Sri Krishna says, yad ahankaram ashritya na yotsya iti manyase mithyaisya vyavasayaste prakriti stvam niyokshati. So in 59, Krishna says, if out of ego, you say, I'm not going to fight, I'm because, you know, I want to be, I'm a peace-loving person, and so I want to go to the forest and meditate, but your nature will compel you, prakriti. So this somehow gives us the idea that maybe we don't have any choice. You know, whatever my nature is, I have to do it. So we'll discuss that a little more today in verse number 60. And then 61 will tell us where is God. So that is what we'll try to find, where God is. See if he has given us his address. So verse number 60. Svabhava jena kaunteya.
Svabhava jena kaunteya.
Nibaddha svena karmana. Kartum nechasi an mohat.
Kartum nechasi an mohat.
Karishyasya vashopitat.
Karishyasya vashopitat.
And so what I would like is everybody to chant one more together. So that way we get practice of chanting. So let's chant together. Svabhava jena kaunteya. Nibaddhasvena karmana kartum nechasi anmohat karishyasya vashopitat. So we'll chant twice every time. So svabhava jena, so by your nature, O Kaunteya, O Arjuna, nibaddha, we are all bound by our nature, svena karmana. And our actions are based on our swabhava. Not only that, but we are also bound by our actions. Our actions also compel us because, oh, I have always been doing that. You know, this is how I am. So that is how we feel, that we are bound, one, by my tendencies, by my nature. And secondly, from childhood, I have been like that. You know, I was brought up like that. My family was like that. You know, ask somebody, why are you so angry? Everybody in my family used to fight, very angry. Why are you so greedy and selfish? I grew up without any in poverty. My family was very average. So we blame our situation, our circumstances on somebody else. My parents, my family, my society, my community. And Krishna says, kartum na ichchasi. Even if you do not wish to do, how? Yat mohat. By delusion, karishyasi avashopitata. You will do it. Compelled. You are compelled to do it. So let us see what Krishna means by that. By swabhava, by vasanas, by nature. What Krishna means is that we are, each of us are born with certain tendencies. As we had talked about last time, somebody may be more athletic, somebody may be more artistic, somebody may be more interested in science, somebody is interested in dance, in music. And so it is good to do what you are interested in or what you are good at. And a lot of times, we talked last week, as parents, we force our children to take something they don't enjoy doing. Why? Because, everybody else's son is going into medicine and engineering, and they will say, what is this? Your son is going into music? You know, what will they think? You know, or my prestige will go down, or there is no money in music, or there is no money in art. So we use other character, money or prestige or fame or name. Yes, it is important for us to guide our children what is a good career, what is will make them successful. At the same time, we should not compel them to do something that they are not good at, because what happened, he may finish his career as a doctor or engineer or lawyer, but he'll always regret, I should have gone into music. And sometimes you can tell them, okay, you can even do it as a hobby. So the point is that it is important not only for our children, but for ourselves also to do what we are good at. And that's what Krishna is telling Arjuna, that you are a Kshatriya. You were born a Kshatriya. You have been trained from childhood to fight. You are the best archer in the kingdom. There is nobody better than you on either side of the battle, of the both Kauravas or Pandavas. Karna was the only one who was as good as he was. And right now there is an opportunity for you to fight a good war. Good in the war is never good, but you are on the side of good. You are on the side of the pure, the honest. And against you are people who are evil, who are malicious, who are dishonest. And if you allow them to win, if you leave the battle, they will win, because you are our commander. You are the main warrior. If you leave, go to the forest, A, the evil will win. Secondly, you will be miserable, because even though, yes, it is more noble to meditate than to fight a war, that is true. But at this moment, your mental condition is not fit enough to sit in the forest and meditate. Even half an hour, you have problems sitting in the morning. You have so much rajas. And to think that all day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days, you will be miserable there. You will be angry. You will be, regretful. So at this moment, you are not ready. So what you have to do is do your duty as a, that's what Krishna says, dedicate all your duties to me, all your actions to me. Dedicate your actions to the Lord, work for the higher without I and my, without getting the ego in it. I am not doing it, the Lord is working through me. That's why he says, Maye nihata purvameva nimit matram bhava savya sachin. Oh, left-handed warrior, he calls him Savyasachin, left-handed warrior, because Arjuna could shoot equally good with both hands, if this way or that way. If his one hand was hurt, he could still shoot. So that's how good he was. So he says, Maye Nihataf, in the 11th chapter, he shows him all these people are going to die. In fact, he actually shows him Duryodhana, Karna, Bhishma, Drona, they're all dying. And he shows him, and he says, by me, they have already been killed. As far as I'm concerned, their life is another 10 or 15 days, because the war lasted 18 days. In 18 days, they will all be dead. All I'm asking you is to be my instrument. If you don't, I'll find somebody else. I'll find somebody to finish the job. But if you do it, you will get the glory. Arjuna was a great warrior, and you will enjoy the kingdom. Plus, you will get so much positive karma. By doing something good, you will be doing good for the community. And even if you perish in the war as a soldier, when you fight, you will go to heaven. That's the second chapter. He tells him that. So either way, this is a good situation for you. But if you run away and do not do what you will, then you will regret it. That's what he says. Yan mohat. But it's interesting. He gives him what is called as a Hobson's choice. Now, Hobson's choice is a very interesting phrase. I read it and then I kind of researched it. It's a very interesting choice. Hobson was a rented horses and carriages. So he would rent people carriages, and then he had a big stable, and people could choose the carriage, the horse that they wanted to take. They, like how we rent cars, you know, Hertz and National. So he was the Hertz and National in the 16th century. You could rent a wagon and a horse from him and go wherever you want, come back, go to the market or come back and return the horse and pay him. So he used to tell people, you know, the horses were all in a stable. He used to say, you can rent, you can take any horse that you want as long as it's the first one near the door. So you can take any horse as you want, but as long as it is the first one near the door. Why did he do that? Because otherwise everybody would want the best horse, and the best horses would be get overused and nobody would take. So this way they would rotate. So all the horses, so he had some wisdom when he did it. So same way Krishna is giving Arjuna the Hobson's choice. He's telling him, you can choose whether you want to fight or not. But inside he knows that this person doesn't have any choice for two reasons. One is his prakriti, his nature. And he, even though temporarily is under delusion, his true nature will come out. That where he was always on the side of the good, on the side of the pure. He's not going to run away. And secondly, Krishna says, I have already taught him 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. Abhi kahan jayega? You think he can escape? No, he already has the right knowledge. He will do the right thing. So Krishna was very sure. So that's why he says, fight if you want or don't fight if you want. Because he knew what he will choose. So that is what we also feel, that my nature is that. And if like, so then it's okay to be angry. Why? Because I have always been angry. Or it is okay to be selfish or greedy or anger. You know, people say, and then somewhere they hear, you know, your intellect should be over your mind. You should think before you get angry. Don't let your mind take over. You know, so they always, all this advice we give, think before you shout at somebody, count 20. You know, all those things we tell people to overcome anger. And so one, this guy said, no, I'm not going to get angry today. I'm going to think twice before I shout at anybody, because he went to some lecture and the Mahatma told him there, gussa kharab hai, you know, anger hurts you more than it hurts the other people and all those things, because when you get angry, you get hurt more than everybody. So this guy went, he got up in the morning, and as he was driving to work, somebody cut him off and honked at him, and he said, no, I'm not going to be angry. So he took a few deep breaths and drove on. And then he went to work, and he and his associate, who were supposed to do a project, and his partner had not done his part. And so the boss calls him and yells at both of them. Even though this guy had done his part, this was the other guy. But okay, boss got angry. It's okay, you know, I'll be very calm. So he's very calm. At lunchtime, you know, the guy sitting next to him spills his coffee on his pants. And again, you know, I should be very calm. So he does that. He comes home. By now, all day he has been controlling, and his child was playing in the mud and runs and gives him hug, daddy, on his white pants, you know. They get all muddy, and now he can't control it. He gives him one slap. Why? Because all day he had been controlling his anger, but he had not gone to the root. And this poor child, instead of, you know, it's okay, your pants can be washed. And he's here to meet. Instead of meeting him with love, he's finally, his anger that he had held in check all day, finally, that's what happens when we come home. Then we let go everything. You know, we are angry at the boss and we come home and yell at somebody who doesn't deserve to be yelled at. So what they say, that when there is these things, if you want to control, One is you can try to do it forcefully, like this guy did, putting a lid on it. Sooner or later, the steam, you keep on holding it, eventually it will burst. That's why in pressure cooker also we have that, you know, allow the steam to go out. So what they say is that when you have any such tendencies, anger, greed, jealousy, selfishness, go to the cause. Find out, why do I get angry? You can say, well, you know, everybody in my house was angry, or my father used to get angry. I grew up in an angry home, conflict. So go to the source and realize that, A, what is the cause? So you, once you know the cause, then you are able to say, okay, that is why. So you can treat it going to the cause. Secondly, you think about it. Okay, my father used to be angry at me. How bad I used to feel. So do I want to inflict that same misery on my children? So there are ways to overcome the anger instead of getting, letting it burst out, or instead of forcefully controlling it. So any of these, say I'm a very selfish person, or I'm a very, you know, I don't like to give, I don't like to share. So you look back, okay, in my house when I grew up, okay, there was poverty, I grew up in such a, but now my situation is different. So you can talk yourself into improving and by going to the cause and then treating it at the cause. That's why even a disease, you know, if somebody has a fever, you can give him Tylenol and send him home, but then he'll be back next day because the fever will come. But you have to find the cause. Maybe she has a urine infection or a pneumonia or, you know, what, gastroenteritis. So you find the cause and treat it instead of treating the symptoms. And similarly, for all our negative tendencies, there was a great saint in India, Mahamati Prannath, in the about 300-400 years ago. He wrote a very beautiful 18 volumes, and one of his points he makes in one of the chapters is what he writes, what is called as Guna Phirai. Guna Phirai means turn your emotions. Even Swami Tejomayanandaji, who is the head of the Chinmaya Mission, tells the same thing. He says, when you get angry, suppose you have anger, and you say, I shouldn't get angry. He says, go ahead and get angry, but get angry at God. You know what? Every day I come and do puja. Every day I meditate. Why are you not coming to me? So get angry with him. And that way you'll have more anger towards him. I want to do more puja, more meditation. If you are greedy or selfish, you say, I'm going to be more greedy. If my neighbor is doing 10 japas, you know, of the malas, I'll do 12, I'll do 13. Or yesterday I did 5, today I'm going to do 8. Yesterday I meditated for half an hour, today I'm going to meditate for an hour. So compete. If you have a competitive nature, compete against yourself. So use all these negative tendencies. If you're jealous, if you have a tendency to get jealous, you say, that guy goes to the temple every day, I'll go twice a day. You know, so turn your jealousy, anger, greed, selfishness towards God, towards a spiritual path, so that I want to be spiritually better than, not in a way of putting the other person down, but inspiring us to do better. And so what they're saying is that is how you divinize these emotions. That's why they say Guna Phirai. Turn these emotions in a positive way. And soon, as you get closer to God, or as you get closer to your truth within meditation, these emotions automatically will weaken. You will find that automatically you will become more loving, more compassionate. That's why when we meet these saints and Mahatmas, they have pure love for everybody, pure compassion. If you meet Guruji, Swami Tejomayanandaji, everybody in the Chinmaya Mission, there are 300 centers and probably thousands of devotees. And everyone thinks that Guruji loves me the most. Am I right? Each one of us, when we meet him, he will meet you like you are the most special person in his life. And that's genuine. It's not that he's faking it, but in his heart, he has equal love for everybody, and he will meet everybody, even somebody whom he hasn't seen in years. How are you? How are your children? He remembers names of children. I have problem even remembering names of, you know, few people that we have in Bakersfield, and he has to deal with thousands of devotees all over the world. And how he does it? Because they have this spontaneous love for all. So the closer you get to God, the more you will develop the divine qualities. That's why Krishna says, come to me, because the more you come closer to me, the more you will become like me. So turning the emotions into a positive, we have some very beautiful example. I was reading about Saint Teresa. Her story is such a beautiful story. She, from childhood, was very rebellious. She never listened to her parents, always fought with them, never followed instructions, very, very rebellious. And when she grew up, she said, I want to go fight the war. I want to, you know, the Christians and the Muslims were fighting the Crusades. She said, I want to go and fight on the side of Muslims and on the side of Christians. And I want to become a soldier in the army, and they didn't take her. And somehow she ended up becoming a nun. She ended up, because she didn't like anything. She rebelled against everything. So with anger, she goes and joins the nun. And there also, she's very rebellious. She doesn't listen to orders, doesn't listen to instructions. But slowly, that rebelliousness, where she rebelled against everything that she was, she said, I don't like this. So what was left? Jesus. So her rebelliousness, she turned towards him, towards God, and eventually she was so determined that it said she saw Jesus and became one with him. She became a realized saint. But her rebellious nature, the church didn't like. And so they tried to punish her. They tried to talk bad about her and, you know, spread scandals. Not only the church, but even other people, you know, who didn't like her because of her nature and all kinds of problems. But she, by that time, she had become such an evolved saint. She said, look, I'm strong in my path, but I'll remain sweet. Her tongue was very sweet, but she was very strong in her goal. And ultimately, people realized that her path was right. And those who had trying to expel her from the church and discipline her. And ultimately, they realized. And then she was allowed to build her own convents and start a whole movement. And so many people then followed, and she built several churches. And then after she died, then she was recognized as a saint, you know, canonized, they called it. So the point is that her rebelliousness, her anger, her conflict was turned in the right direction. And she was able to divinize her anger, her rebelliousness. So people say, what's wrong with giving in? You know, if I have, let me give in to it. Or it's too difficult to, you know, change my nature. It is easier to, it's okay, you know, let it be. So we kind of give in and to these bad habits. Why? Because turning around, it's very difficult. Changing the habits, especially if something I have been doing for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, it's very difficult. It's very hard. So the example they give is that, suppose you are walking on a beach, right? And there is a very strong wind. And your home is in the east, but the wind is coming from the east, and you say, it's very hard to go back there. Let me just walk for a while along with the wind. It's easier when the wind is pushing me from the back. I'll go for a walk, and then if the wind will die down, then I'll go back to my home. And so the wind keeps pushing you, go further and further and further, and then you realize, oh, I'm so far away from my home. And now when you turn around, the wind is in your face, the sand is hitting you, and it's so hard. But if your goal is that I have to go back home, you will be able to overcome that. But what has happened is, since you gave in to the wind, now you have gone so far away that going back is a struggle. So similarly, giving in to these negative tendencies, after a while, they will become so ingrained, and you will be so far away from your true nature as Satchidananda, as the Brahman, the consciousness. You will be so much caught in your vasanas and so further along that when you turn around and try to go back, it will be very hard. So they say, whenever you realize that I have these negative tendencies, turn around and start going back towards the Lord, towards the Self. And the closer you go, the easier you will become. And just as when you are going back in the wind and the sand is hitting you in the eyes, if you look down, you will lose your way. You have to keep looking up where the home is. So Krishna says, in this journey of life which you have already begun, keep your eyes up, keep your eyes on me. And when you keep your eyes on me, then I will guide you in the right direction. I will take you in the right way. Because we already are on this journey of life. It's like you're watching a movie, right? You have started, either you shouldn't have started the movie, but once you start, then you want to know, right? What is the end? You want to watch it till the end. Nobody, if somebody says the middle of the movie, okay, come on, let's go for it. No, I want to finish. Or you start a novel, a mystery novel, and in the middle of the novel, suppose the book gets lost, and you don't know who the killer was, you know, who the murderer was. You feel so bad, right? Oh, I have to find my book. I have to know what happened. So similarly, our journey of life has started. We have already begun the journey, and we need to go to the end of the journey. Don't leave it halfway. And what is the end of the journey? End of the journey is knowing who I am. If I don't, then I'll have to continue in my next life, again start from there. It's like half a novel you have left. Then whenever you start, you have to start from again because you have forgotten. You know, again you start. So in this life itself, finish the journey that you have begun. And let not your situations control you, but you control your situations. There's a very, very beautiful story about a Mahatma and a king. So this Mahatma was living on the edge of the kingdom in the small hut, and the king came to know he's a very evolved saint, very evolved. So he goes and bows down to him and says, you know, Mahatmaji, you're living in this hut, you're sleeping on the floor, and what are you eating? Nuts and berries, whoever brings you, sometime if they don't bring you food, you don't eat. I feel so bad, you know, why are... Mahatma said, I'm fine living here. No. I would humbly request you come and live in my palace. I have so many rooms. You'll be comfortable. You don't have to worry about food. No, I don't care for that. No, please. He keeps begging and requesting him and said, please. So Mahatma said, okay, he's saying so much. Chalo. So he goes with him. And king is very honored that this great Mahatma is going to live in my palace. So he gives him a nice room in one wing of his palace. He says, you know, tells his servant, this is Mahatmaji's room. Nice bed, you know, with comfortable satin, you know, sheets and all that. And he says, make sure he gets food and make sure. And then he gives him all his expensive clothes, you know. He tells the tailor, you know, I don't want him to wear these, you know, torn clothes. So nice expensive clothes, beautiful clothes are stitched for him. Jewelry is given to him. So Mahatmaji accepts everything. He says, okay, I'm here, let me. So a few weeks pass by, and one day the king asks the servants, how is the Mahatmaji doing? He's doing fine. So, okay, let me go see him. He had been busy with his state things. He goes there and he finds Mahatmaji sitting on the, you know, sofa with his feet up and eating all the good food and mithai and sweets and all, and wearing nice clothes and jewelry. And you know, what happened to him? You know, how did he become like that? Look at him. You know, he's like me. I don't see any difference between Mahatma. I also do the same thing. Put my feet up, eat, and I also. So he kind of looked a little bit sarcastically. So Mahatma understood. So he didn't say anything. So the next time the king comes, Mahatma says, you know what, today is Saturday. You don't have court. Let's go for a ride. He said, okay. So the both of them start riding. The Mahatmaji by now had learned how to ride horse. So they go riding on the horse and the soldiers are following. He says, you know, I want to talk to you in private. Tell the soldiers not to come. So the king says, don't come, soldier. So they go further and they start going into the forest. And now king is worried and he's taking the horses further. And king is following because he's scared because, you know, some robbers will. Then Mahatmaji says, let's get down and walk. He says, walk? Yeah, walk. So they tie the horses, get down and start walking. And they're wearing all these expensive clothes and all. And nice shoes, you know, very expensive shoes. As they walk further, Mahatma says, let's throw away our shoes. We don't need shoes. So he throws the shoes. You also throw. King says, shoes? These are expensive shoes. You are throwing them? He runs and picks them up. Then he takes off his clothes. He throws them, his clothes, his jewelry. king, these are expensive jewels. They are thousands of rupees. It's not gold and diamonds, and you are throwing them. He runs and he starts picking up the clothes, picking up his. And Mahatma is wearing his, you know, sadhu clothes underneath. He keeps, and the king is now desperate. You know, he's carrying his, you know, things, and he's carrying the Mahatma. Mahatma says, "That is the difference between you and me. I can take it and drop it whenever I want. You asked me to come and live in the palace, and I was living happily. Before I lived in your palace, I was fine. And now, when I have to give it up, I have no problem. But you have, see, you thought that you and I are the same, but that is the difference." So that is the wise person who can take situations, and then when it's time to give it up, give it up. So that's what they're saying. Do not be a slave to your vasanas. Do not be a slave to your circumstances. If things are there, fine. If not, they are not there, fine. Today I have something, it is good. Tomorrow I won't, because nothing in this world is permanent. No person is permanent. Today this person is with me, tomorrow he is not. Today I am healthy, tomorrow I am not. So life will have its ups and downs, but a wise person goes through life without letting themselves get down. So that's what we should be like, that Mahatma, not be a slave to our situations. And in fact, the whole progress of civilization has been based on this, that people who were not ready to accept things as they were, you know, people say, it's always been like that. No, even if it has always been like that, we can improve. So that's what the message of the Gita is, that do not be a slave to your situation, but be a master of all situations. Let your intellect decide what is right, and not let your mind guide you with what I feel is good. So that is the essence of this last two or three verses. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukhbhat. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Deo Namaha Hari.